You know what I just found out? That a crab rangoon doesn't have any crab in it.
Wait,
a
what?
A crab rangoon?
Why is it called a crab rangoon? If it doesn't have crab.
That is a. Is it just? It's just cream cheese and something
maybe,
else.
Maybe because it.
But not crab.
Wait, guys, we need to introduce the podcast.
Oh, we starting?
Because we've been rolling for the past like 10 minutes.
Okay, good.
So let's
keep the crab rangoon.
put a pin in the crab rangoon for now.
Start with the crab rangoon.
Welcome back to We Stayed Late. This is a podcast where we talk about the apocalypse that happened to us a couple of months ago. Weeks ago, it was
a month and a half ago.
You guys are staying real positive.
We're staying real positive. No, and what has come from it? And we have a special guest with us today. His name is.
Oh, was I supposed to introduce myself? Or did you?
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm Ian Doki.
Ian Doki.
Please don't roast us like Mike Falzone did.
I gotta be real nice after last week.
Mike Falzone was getting on us about how newbies we all are to podcasts, and it felt real good. I have to tell you.
He whipped us into shape.
It was funny, but mean. But funny.
And therein lies the essence of Mike Falzone.
Wait, okay, so back to the crab rangoon. So there's only cream
cheese.
Wait,
are we not going to introduce ourselves again? Oh my fucking God.
Just the running.
We got to stop doing that.
Go ahead. You go first.
I'm going first. My name is Luis Gonzalez. Welcome.
I'm Autumn Farrell. Welcome.
And I'm Starlene Hodge.
And I'm Spencer Stark. And one more time.
I'm Ian Doki.
Yay!
Oh,
you God, guys. We almost forgot again.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just me every time. I don't think it's anybody.
We need post-its on the table to say, say your name.
We do look to you for leadership, Spencer.
Yeah, that's not a great idea.
And it's not working out, really. So
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go. wait, hold on. Star, what's happening?
Can you please turn my headphones down like a little bit? I've been trying for like the past 5 minutes to just ask. But it's like
I don't have a way to turn down just yours, but I'll turn down everybody's just a little bit. How's
just
that?
Like a little.
Is that better?
Oh. That's much better.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to have to speak
nobody
a
else
louder.
Has a change, just the people.
I'm
going to
start screaming.
Help! You're screaming help when
help.
You walked
I think
in
that's
room.
Just like editor ear. Like we're probably, the three of us are probably hella deaf.
Oh,
just, I always accidentally like turn up the volume really loud on one thing and then make it really quiet on another thing. And then it's like I'm listening to the quiet thing, so it's turned all the way up. And then I go to the loud thing. And it blasted my ears, and that's like
I don't even notice it anymore.
Yeah,
honestly.
I go deaf.
Like I was editing that sizzle that I was just doing, and the audio the like vocals on it, you know, the VO on it is and the music are so loud that when I play them out loud, it's like it disrupts everybody. So everybody's
were those
on
your
headphones.
Vocals on it?
Those are my vocals
you
on it.
You sounded good, man.
Thanks.
Are you getting into voiceovers?
No, I was doing the voiceover. Well, it's just scratch audio because like basically they want to test
for now until they hear it.
Well, Spencer, what is scratch audio?
Oh yeah, we should talk about what sizzles are because people have asked us over and over what sizzles are, and we've
when you get
been
a piece
having
of meat real hot.
Just
we've been talking about sizzles for like for our entire lives, pretty much. And on this podcast, and we haven't explained what they are. So, Luis, do you want to explain what a sizzle is to the folks at home?
Yeah, I guess a sizzle is just like you put all the fancy best things into one video, and you're supposed to wow people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like
pretty
a
much it.
It's like a demo reel or
it's like a demo, like a little trailer of your like all the cool stuff.
Yeah,
like specifically, we're trying to get like ads and sponsors to like. Buy our shit.
Yeah. And so
it's like a trailer. It's
yeah.
A teaser tape.
It's like, and oftentimes it's a trailer for a show that doesn't actually exist yet. Like a lot of the stuff that we're cutting are like things that don't exist, and we're trying to make them look like this is like what they might look like if they existed, so people will give us money so that we can make the show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but for this, I had to record some scratch audio with one of these mics because basically they have a voiceover artist that they're going to have come in and do it, but they wanted to have. Like the voiceover underneath so they could tell whether they like the copy before they hire somebody. The words, sorry, I'm using more technical
it's okay.
jargon. The voiceover that they have on it, they want to see if it works before they pay somebody to say it.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
You don't want to pay someone and then realize, ooh, we made a big, this is a piece of shit.
I think that's usually what happens anyway, because that's just like how it happens.
That's true. That's why I've been operating already... at this job basically the whole time I've been here.
Yeah, they've already done that because they did hire someone with copy, and then they changed all your music. So you had to start all over.
It happens. That's what happens. It's funny because when you're working for a company where like there's many different layers to the company, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's the people that are here in this office, and then there's the people that are like in charge of the brand itself, and then there's the people that are in charge of all of the brands,
right?
And they're all kind of in different places. You get notes from everywhere, and it's like you have to try and make it work with everyone, you know, to make everybody happy. And for better or worse, that makes you do many, many, many drafts. And I got it on like the fourth draft, the fourth time they had done it, and then it's changed completely twice since I've gotten it. So
that's the good thing about like SourceFed was, is that everyone knew the tone, everyone knew like the type of humor that was going for. So everyone's like, oh yeah, totally, I agree with you, that's cool, I trust you.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of time to figure out, you know, like to get everybody on board in the same thing. And especially because at SourceFed, like, we turned around stuff so fast.
Yeah.
Like, it was within an hour or two. So, like, it had to be approved.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not, you know.
Yeah, the review was like, we could reshoot that, but we're not going to.
We don't have time. Yeah, not at all.
We do not have time to reshoot that. So oftentimes we would just have to, like, deal with what we had. Where here, you can go through, you know, as many iterations as you want. But Autumn has a little announcement she wants to make. She wanna talk for a minute.
Yeah. Okay. So I gotta get out of this podcast a little early, unfortunately. But I just wanted to say that this is my last podcast I'm gonna be on with We Stayed Late, which makes me a little sad. But it's just I'm like very focused on editing right now, and that's where I want to put all my energy into. I'm also like, I'm a very much of a background player kind of a person. I'm a kind of a private gal. So I think I'm just going to take a step out and go back to my dark corners and do my stuff in secret.
You're definitely going to be a guest again. Because
that's fine. I'm cool with that.
People look up to you, Autumn.
Why?
You know, because you're you're like, oh, I also live in the darkness in the corner. I want to look up to somebody who's making
cool.
it big.
Yeah. Well, hey, and the thing is, too, like, you know, if you... I'm extremely passionate about editing, and like I would love to come on maybe to talk more about that at whatever point you guys want. And I mentioned this to someone, I don't remember who, but if you guys ever want me to like cut your videos for you, like I do for Dynamic Banter, I'd love to do that. So yeah, that's my little announcement. I'm probably gonna get going.
Yeah, because you have to go do some freelance work.
I do. Yeah,
you're on your way to go do. Do you want to tell them what that is, or can you not?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Then don't, because if we don't want to, you get.
Yeah,
control,
I'm not sure, but
there's
cool.
some exciting stuff that you're doing.
A little exciting.
So
you can tweet me, and I'll tell you.
Okay.
we'll make a Slack.
I don't have.
We'll
a Twitter.
Make a Slack channel.
Dude, fuck Slack. Okay.
And
that's,
damn.
That's all I gotta say.
There's some good people on Slack.
No.
I'm sorry,
no.
Seth Films.
Seth Films. Before I go, you can follow me on Instagram, which is RUFHAUS, Roughhouse. And I have a lot of cool shit coming up, and hopefully I can talk about it soon. Got a lot of balls up in the air, but I don't want to say balls like that ever. Oh my god. Okay, I'm out. I'm gonna go. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye forever.
Okay, you too.
We'll see you tomorrow.
No. Don't want that.
She's taking off her headphones.
Oh, she's leaving.
Oh, she's
we had
up.
A bye-bye. Cool. We had
Can
a
I just
cool,
say really yeah. quick that the lighting now in this room makes it feel like 10 times more dramatic than
I know.
It felt. Yeah. It's pretty
we're
dope.
In a, we're in the new space that we're actually going to be in, the studio that we're going to be in. Bye, Autumn. We're in the new like studio space that we're going to be in, and all the walls are black, and the lights are directly overhead, and it feels like we're in an interrogation room or like a cool cop movie or something.
You know, those interrogation rooms never look like that. Have you seen like First 48? They're always in like a small, white, bright lit room. It's never that dramatic.
I know. Well, that's I think true. That's just for effect. You know what I mean?
I want realism, Spencer.
Somebody asked us a really good question that I wanted to talk before we forget.
Wait,
that I wanted to talk.
Real quick. Should I use both mics now that Autumn's gone?
Fuck.
Should I use both?
Oh God!
I don't know. That might break things. Just wondering.
Let's try it. Look, let's see what
wait,
happens.
You know what? I'll change mics.
Okay.
Do it like midpoint. Yeah.
Well, your levels are for. Oh God.
Oh no. Okay. Uh-oh. I'm so sorry. I'm not gonna touch that. I'm so sorry.
Okay. So, Callum L. Whale said, "Do you have any tips for pushing through creative block or struggles with finding inspiration or ideas. I'm currently studying digital media and don't often find myself having creative blocks, but when I do, it's so bad. And I said I love this question because I struggle with this like all the time.
I've been struggling on it for years.
Yeah, I think we all struggle with it to some extent just because it's, you know, it's in the creative field, like that's sometimes what happens. So do you guys have any, coming from like the different areas that we're working in, do you guys have different techniques that you use to kind of break through that, that creative block?
I used to get really horrible writer's block in the sense of, at least for my old webcomic, but I realized it's because I didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's that pulling teeth thing where I'm trying to work on something that I don't really want to work on. Yeah. So it's harder when it's something like that, especially when it's not for somebody else. It's just for me and I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So that's just why I stopped doing it. But when I used to get stuck for that, then I would just actually just work on something else. But that's when it's like a personal project and there's no actual deadlines and like the only person accountable is myself. Mm-hmm. For other people though, writer's block and creator's block doesn't happen as much because it's like if I have a deadline, I'm like, well, somebody needs this thing. If I don't, and I'll just, if I'm stuck on something that I think I kind of want to do and can't do it, I'll just go, I'm like, well, I can't do that, and just give them something. And at least I could work from there and build from there, because it's really, it's more like starting is the hardest part.
Right. It's an idea of like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then once you let go of perfection, then it's just like, well, I just got to make something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I assume with like writing stuff too, it's that what is it? It's just like, I just write anything. It doesn't matter what it is.
Sure.
It's so that you just have like your bullshit version. And then once you start, you're like, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just getting started. Like, I mean, I mainly produce stuff, but I also like will edit something or use Photoshop from time to time. Mm-hmm. And I think like, I'll try to just like focus in on one little piece of whatever I'm doing, and if I can like get that right, then it's like, oh, that's how the rest of it should interesting. Look a little
okay.
bit.
Okay,
you know?
so you isolate.
Yeah, just to like one part of it, essentially. And
that's
then if
cool.
I can like make that look good, then it kind of base everything else.
I've never tried that. I've never tried just not to the extent that you're talking about, where you just isolate like one piece. That's a pretty cool technique. I'll have to try that when like just focusing on that one section and making sure that's right.
It's like the to-do list method, where it's just like if you have a big project, you don't know where to start. Break it down into little pieces and go, I'm going to do this tiny bit and then I'll do this tiny bit.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Because doing those things, it helps like inspire you again and gets you excited. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was working on a Western one time and we got stuck. And when we had someone do the music for that, like just hearing the music again, I was like, oh, this is going to be fucking amazing. You know?
It's almost like getting re-inspired.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. And so it kind of changes perspective a little bit once you have that kind of like finished small thing done.
Sure.
Like, oh, wow. I can finally see it part of the puzzle of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you kind of get re-inspired on it.
How do you break through, like, when you're editing? What do you do if you come to a point that you're editing and you don't know what to do? Like, what's your technique?
I mean, you know, what we do is sometimes we just have to step away from the thing, you know, for me. And I have to either watch something else or, you know, I have to just spend a day away from it. You know, if I'm working on something like 8 or 9 hours straight on some project, like I just have to sleep, you know what I mean, and take some time off. Mm. But, you know, I think there are times when I am working on a project and I'm stuck and I don't know where to go with it. And I think, you know, you guys are saying it already. Just do it. Even if it's not perfect, just do it. And I think, like me personally, growing up, I wanted everything to be perfect right away.
I was the same exact way.
You know what I mean?
Like,
my stuff is going to be amazing. It's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I want to do it alone.
Yeah.
Because I'm the best. And we get too precious about things that are perfect, and we don't realize that, hey, it takes practice. You're going to fail, and that's okay. It's not a big deal to fail.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just ask for people for help. If you don't know something, ask someone who does. Mm-hmm. And if you finish your product and it doesn't end up the best way, well, that's okay. You now know how to do it better.
And you start on the next one.
And you enjoy doing what you're doing, so it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's about not being too precious with it. Just
had that talk like outside of this. We had that talk before when we were talking about stuff. And it's like a part of the technique. Like, so when I'm writing, if I get stuck, like I'll go and beat everything out first before I write anything. Mm-hmm. Like we were working on
on
the comic.
Spencer's essentially writing my comic idea, which is amazing because he's doing the part that I cannot stand.
And see, this is the part that I love is figuring
teamwork.
Out what all of the teamwork is figuring out how
like,
all of it works.
Working
you know?
With a team
but
is
like,
insane.
I know it helps so much.
But it's weird because Spencer will come out and bring out all these cards and go, I'm like, okay, and break down. I'm like, okay, these are the beats. We just got to get this and this and this and this has to happen, and then that'll influence this and this. And I'm like, oh, that makes so much more sense. That's so much. That's that like removes the overwhelmingness of like trying to create this gigantic story.
Well, and maybe that is kind of what you're talking about, where you isolate it, because like when I'm working, like all work. So if I'm breaking down, what was that?
I farted.
I think my chair is touching the power cord.
Oh,
to, like,
no,
everything.
I'm touching a wall outlet. Should I not be doing that?
when I'm looking at like a story, when I want to try and I'll use the structure, right, to like do the 30, 60, it's like a 30, 60, 90, 120, where like you break down whatever story it is. It doesn't need to be necessarily like a 120 page script. It just needs to like have that same structure as like a 120 page script generally, or like it just needs to have your beginning, middle, and end, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have your 30. So like if we're doing a feature, you have like your first 30 pages, and that's the setup. And that 30 pages in, there's something that, ooh, I just touched the spring. There's lots of cool sounds happening. Yeah. At 30 pages in, you have like this thing that happens that sets your character off on their journey. And then at 60, you have the midpoint where they've either worked for something and then they then all of it's for nothing, or they hit a low where like they feel like they're never going to make it. And then you have 90, you have page 90 where you are at the beginning of your climax, where your character has brought themselves back up from this failure and they're setting out. They're like, they now realize that they can go out and do the thing that they ultimately need to do to win. And then you have 90 to 120, which is your resolution. And once you kind of beat that out and know where you are, like that helps me to get through
broad strokes, right? Like get through the broad strokes.
Right, because once you have, like, if you just try and sit down and write, at least for me, I get really overwhelmed because there's so much that needs to happen. And
I've had this idea for like 2-3 years now.
Yeah.
And all I've been doing is world building, because I'm like, oh, I'll just make up my characters, and then like this is what happens in this world and these are the rules, and then it's just like, oh wait, I still have to come up with the plot.
Yeah, there has to be a narrative for it. And so
narrative for all this thing, and it was just, and like, yeah, I'd get overwhelmed and I'm like, I don't know. And like, just, I would try and I would do like the Harmon circle thing, and I'm like, okay, look, it's 8 steps. Let me try to like do it. Right. But it would still like freak me out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Writing's not my forte.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's cool that you're, you know, that you kind of were, that you were experimenting with that, and then you discovered it wasn't your thing, and now we're able to work on something that, like, it's writing is what I love to do more than anything, and you love to draw, and so we just get to like make a thing together, which is really awesome. But it's cool, because once you are able to lay out like that foundation of what you're doing, like we have these setup and payoffs, right, that are going to happen, and like it's the same kind of structure where like you have to, and this is the case in anything you're kind of doing, but like you have to plant things early on for them to pay off later in stories, right? And so like not only do you have that structure, but then like the thing that they, if you watch any movie and look for plant and payoffs, like you'll see it immediately, and it's really weird how it happens every time. But like there's a plant in the beginning of the story that then pays off in the middle, and there's a plant in the middle that pays off at the end of, like, you know, they hint the thing that's going to save them, and at the end that thing comes back and saves them. So you have to just like figure out all of those pieces, which is what we're in the process of doing right now. And once you do that, like your writer's block kind of goes away, because you know where you're going and you know what you need to do.
It's fill in the blank at that point.
Yeah, which is not bad. I mean, when I first started writing, I felt like it was bad, because I was like, oh, it's just fill in the blank. Like, it's like Mad Libs. You're just filling in this story and the structure.
But you don't know anything.
Great.
You, the first time you do it, you don't know.
Yeah.
Well, so you have to follow a structure. You have to, you know, learn from what other people have done first, you know?
Totally. I mean, and it takes that kind of like rigid structure to learn how to do that, you know?
It's like needing to know your basic forms before you even can attempt to break them.
Right.
You can't break something if you don't know what the heck you're breaking.
Yeah, it's you know, when you get in that writer's block, it sometimes feels like hopeless, like you're not going to be able to get out of it. And I've abandoned many a story because of that. What you guys said, you just have to work through it, and just sometimes just writing pages and even if they're real shitty, like
just do it,
doing it and just getting it on the page and moving on to the next scene. You guys are saying that makes you really excited, you know.
I know for drawing when that happens, because every once in a while I'll be like, okay, I'm in the mood to draw, I'm gonna make this epic thing and it's gonna be great, and then I'll look at that blank page and go, oh, nothing's coming. I'm like, but damn it, I wanted to draw. So I'll either go to like my default like doodle sketches, where it's just like, okay, I'm going to doodle 5 things real quick just to like start going, and then I'll start thinking about it. And like mermaids are like my go-to, because they're really easy to like, I don't have to draw legs. It's just like, oh, I'm going to draw this and I'm going to do this. And
torsos,
it's very flowy,
and
it's just, yeah. And then, but once you start and kind of get that out of your system of like, I've already made something, I could throw the sketch away, it's done. And then usually by that time it triggers like what I actually would like to draw or an idea or
sure.
Cause you'll mm-hmm. see something in the doodle where you're like, oh, I like how this feels. Let me go with that.
Well, Callum he's a digital media, student. So I'm not sure if that means editing or if that means digital design or what exactly that is.
A bit of everything.
But it sounds like a bit of everything.
Production.
But yeah. when I get stuck on that kind of stuff, I'll go to like ArtStation, which is a website that everybody should go to if they like art things.
Okay.
It's called ArtStation. And they have an app that I use, and it literally is just like amazing artists. Mm-hmm. It's like DeviantArt. But nicer. But a lot of the people on ArtStation are people who work professionally for Ubisoft and these big game companies or these big film companies. And so they just have like these amazing paintings and stuff that they do, and that helps to like re-inspire.
Yeah,
see,
I'm
half and half on that because sometimes I'll go look at like I want to look at these artists and be inspired, and then sometimes I'll look at those artists and go, oh, I'm not anywhere near that level, and I'll get like bummed out instead.
But see, I'll take that as a writer. I'll combine like three or four photos and make a story out of it, and then write that story.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
But I would say for art, like ideally, you know, people's whose level that you're aiming to be, that you're closer to. Like you have your people, your epic people. Where you're like, I have no idea how you painted that. That's amazing. Cool. Whoa. But then there's got to be like people who are that you're reachable.
Right.
Like
attainable goals. Yeah,
yeah. Like so when I'm kind of like in a mood, I don't know what to draw. I'll like open up a Scott Pilgrim book because his style is different than mine, but it's something that I could mimic if I really wanted to. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And then kind of see, I'm like, oh, this is what they did for this, and this is what they did for this.
Yeah.
So it's like find the people who are maybe just like a step or two above your own level. That you could like find inspiration so you could see the path they took instead of just being like, I'm going to be like, I don't know. I'm thinking like in filmmaking, like if you want to be a director and you're just like,
At Inception and like you're trying to, you want to make Inception and it's like, there's no way you can make it on the budget you have.
Yeah, no. Find like some people on like Vimeo and shit who are doing like some homebrew cool shit. And you're like, yeah, I could maybe do that. Yeah.
It's weird like with digital video, I feel like because it's not in each video that you like get past or like you grow. It's really like you put up a video, you see what everybody thinks, you read the comments, and then the next video you try something else. Like you don't have the time to really like dig into your edit. Like this year I did a documentary, which was like 35 minutes, which is the longest thing I've ever done. And like just opening up the same timeline and being like, oh man, like it's so overwhelming. I don't know. What's the longest thing you guys have ever done?
A 2.5-hour comedy.
Wow.
Holy
in
shit.
College.
Shit.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't even film everything yet. And yeah, it took us like a year just to go through everything.
Was overwhelming?
It was incredibly overwhelming, yeah. I mean,
is that
is it a 2.5-hour comedy?
Yeah. it's a long
funny.
Story. It was hilarious.
It was so funny that it had to be 2.5 hours.
No, I mean, we didn't even film everything too, so we had to cut it down. Yeah. But I think what you're saying is like, because Trey Parker and Matt Stone from South Park, they have an awesome setup. And they have this documentary, which they cover, and they do all their episodes in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
And there's something you were talking about, too, Star. When you have a deadline for somebody else, you just get it done.
Yeah.
And there's something about a deadline. There's something about working in tight conditions that you, like, sometimes when you're in that, you can get it done.
Yeah.
You
know? Right.
And so
you have to.
Yeah, we had a film festival that we had to submit it by this date.
Right.
And we had we had 9 months of pre-production, and then post, we had 2 months to edit this. And without that deadline, we would have still been working on it. You know?
So it's like you have to, if you can't set a deadline for yourself, get a friend and be like, hey, I'm doing this project, make sure I do it, or tell someone so that you feel like you have to get it done.
I know people who do, they make financial deadlines in the sense that they're friends, where it's essentially like, if I don't, and I've never done this because I'm just too broke to do that, but it's like, you tell a friend, it's essentially you make a bet with your friend, like, I'm going to get this done, or at least this part of my project, not the whole thing, because the whole thing will be like, but I'm going to get the rough draft of my first thing done by this date, or I owe you lunch or $100 or something where
Spencer,
you're like,
you can hit me.
And
hell
and it's
yeah.
Like, and make sure that person really wants the thing. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like fuck, I'm really going to have to buy them like $100, something where it's just like, it'll hurt you if you don't get this done, or at least.
So
it's like,
I had a class in college. We had this thing called interterm in college where it's between the December break and like the start of the semester in February, the next semester in February. And it was a month long and you could take one class. And for those 4 weeks, that's the only class you took. You went there Monday through Thursday, I think. Mm-hmm. And so so you went there. You know, it's very different from like most college classes because most are like once or twice a week. And they're short, but these ones are long. These are like 5 or 6
intensives.
Hours. Intensives, yeah. And so I took this this writing class where every week we had to write a new script. And so it could be anything we wanted. It just had to be under 15 pages. But every week you had to come up with something new for 4 weeks. And so that deadline of like and most of the time, like when I'm working with myself and I'm not doing as well as I want to be, I will set a deadline. They'll be like, oh, okay, I'm too tired, I can't get to it. Like, but with that class, what was crazy is that you go to class and you bring your thing that you wrote, and then you would get feedback. Like, you had to bring in the 15-page script pretty much by like Monday or Tuesday of that week, and then you would get feedback on it on like say Tuesday, and then you would have to go back home, rewrite it, and bring in your edits the next day.
Wow.
Holy
so
shit.
You were like super. Like, you had to be on it every day when you got out. You had to just do your rewrites, and then you had to bring it in. So like, then you bring it in on Thursday, you bring it in on Friday, and then by Monday you have to have a new script written. So
but
it was
you
like,
but you had
nuts.
The support too. Like, you
right,
had people.
But we had
who
like a bunch of people who were all doing it, and so it was really cool to see. Like, the first week, everybody's stories were like, they were like, okay, they were pretty strong, but like, you could tell they were their first ideas and like they were easy ideas,
right?
And by like the third week, everybody was like, fuck, what am I gonna write? Like, everybody's struggling to figure out but honestly, the stuff at the end was the best, because it like drove people to like have to find new inspiration for their, they couldn't just do the stories that they already
deep.
knew.
Mm-hmm.
They had to dig deep. And so they got all the, they pushed all the shit out. Mm-hmm. And then just like, once they
that's
got all that
like
shit out of
when it
veins,
got
yeah.
weird, it was just like, I guess I'll throw this in there.
Right.
This will work.
Right.
I don't know.
Like, I wrote a children's story. I didn't write a script. I wrote a children's story my third week. I've never written a children's story.
Did
but
it have animals in it?
It had a little spoon named
oh,
it was a little spoon named Oliver. Oliver Spoon.
That's a cute
Aww.
Name.
It's real fun. I'll have to bring it in. But
the spoon.
I actually want to.
You still got the spoon.
The spoon. Yeah. Cool. No, I want to bring in the spoon. No, I'll bring the story. It was actually really fun. I actually really like it. But yeah, it was like, it pushed me. You know. So like, those deadlines are really, really important, even if they're just for yourself. Like.
Yeah.
Like, Star and I set deadlines for ourselves for stuff for this comic.
Yeah,
and we keep each other accountable.
Like, and all of a sudden, like, stuff's happening. Like, I've drawn the characters. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, this thing that's been in my head for a long time. I'm like, okay, it's happening.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Yeah.
And it's motivating once you start seeing, like, it go.
Yeah, totally. What were you going to say?
There's a guy that I've been following, and I actually just read an article about him. You guys might know him. His name is Beeple. His username is Beeple. And he's a motion graphics artist, and he's been creating like a new essentially like artwork in cinema 4D for 10 years.
Holy
every day
shit.
He's done something new for 10 years, and all of his stuff is incredible. Like, I want all of it as posters.
Oh man, he must have his like a
people
like, his workload
people. Like people but
like,
I'm gonna
like,
look him up too.
Just like, his whole process must be just
streamlined.
Yeah, it's just like, all right, open this up, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna work with this color, I'm gonna do this color,
but that's how you
and
get good
like,
you
every
know?
Day for 10 years. I mean,
yeah,
I,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
So you have a YouTube channel that you're running, that you're producing. Do you want to talk about that really quick, and then maybe tell us the process you have to go through and how you deal with like your deadlines and stuff?
Yeah, sure. My mouth is like open ready to, so I run a channel called Life Noggin. Which is, thanks guys, which is,
it's amazing,
animated education stuff. So
I actually thought you animated those things.
It's really funny because I feel like most people don't really know what producers do. And so every time, actually, so we just moved into an office, and the IT guy in our office, who's like, it's like a community office. And the IT guy came up to me, and he's a huge fan of our channel.
Oh, wow.
And his first question is like, oh, you're not the voice. I'm like, no, that's my friend. And then he's like, oh, so you write it. And I'm like, no, we have like a writer. And he's like, but you animate it. And I was like, no, I just produce it. I just put the pieces together. Like, it's so hard to explain that.
Yeah,
to people,
yeah, yeah.
But, anyways, yeah, so we're animated education. So we do like, if you've ever seen those like little infographics that companies have to like produce their products or whatever, like it's like that, but it explains science topics essentially. So
that's my favorite thing.
Spencer likes science.
I love science.
Remember when we produced a show together?
Yeah, we did a show together.
Yeah.
For like what?
For like
4 or 5 months?
Yeah. Counterpoint.
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 Facebook exclusive.
Facebook exclusive.
Would have done
Counterpoint.
So well on YouTube.
I know. But We should revive it.
Bring it back.
Put it on YouTube.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
We need Kenny if we're gonna bring it back, because he was the driving force behind the animation. He did a really good job.
And animation is hard.
Yeah.
And expensive.
Yeah. Well, what?
And
okay,
I
so
do it every week.
Yeah. So run us through, like, are you okay with running us through like your normal week that when you're making a video, like how you go about that?
Totally. Yeah. So we pick ideas. Like we have a monthly call. And we like pick ideas, and then we hand it off to a writer. They have about like a week and a half to research and write it. And then at this point, we've had an amazing animator and designer that we've had for 2 years now.
Wow.
And so we just kind of hand him the script, and he knows basically what to do. And he comes back to us with something that's pretty much almost finished. We don't storyboard. We don't do anything like that.
Wow. That's crazy.
He's just like,
that's awesome.
He's got it. So we really just give like science notes and like maybe a little thing here or there. But the whole process, like he busts out a 3-minute animated video in a week.
And wow.
Then, wow, that's pretty good.
So we're about 2 weeks ahead right now. And yeah, it's like a smooth rolling machine. Yeah.
How did this how did you get started into it? Since there's so many moving parts, like what was the beginnings of it?
So essentially, I had been making YouTube videos while it's going on.
Ooh, another fart.
That was
a little fart.
10 years. I made my first channel 10 years ago.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And so my partners on the channel, they've both been on YouTube for a long time as well. So this was just kind of like a good idea, and we saw like other science channels getting popular.
For context, 10 years ago, how old were you?
Oh, we're going to bring that. 14, 15. Okay. Yeah.
What a boss.
Yeah, I'm 21 now, so.
Wait, so you were 11?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I was like, wait a second. You were a child when you started.
I registered
it. I've seen some childs running YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, there are now.
Which is,
yeah.
Which is amazing, but also like,
well, what I actually,
just so people know that like you can do this whenever.
Yeah,
come out of the womb. Totally. Make a YouTube page, man.
And
walk.
Walk.
There are walk. If you're not walking in your YouTube video.
Maybe get to walking first. Maybe focus on walking first and then go from there.
No, they're like, honestly, so I went to New York with Autumn.
Yeah.
When she's gone now. Forever.
She is gone forever.
But we went to the Shorty Awards, and
that's right.
So many people, there were so many dogs that'll be more famous than I ever will be. And so many like 12-year-olds that'll be more famous than I ever will be. So
I mean, you're on this podcast, so you're already
that's
half
true.
Famous.
Yeah, but next week, a small child's going to be here and upstage me.
It's true. We will invite a small child here.
Good.
That's so funny. Well, I just went to New York as well.
Yeah, how was that?
And I got back, and I actually had a really, really good time, and the weather was amazing. It was like unlike any weather I've ever been in New York. It was so cool. It was like 75 every single day.
Wow.
It felt like L.A., it was so weird. I've never been there when it's like that. But I guess we got lucky and we got there, you know, we got there. But I was going to tell you guys the plane story and I saved it.
You did save it.
I saved it because it was crazy. But we had a really good time. Everything that we could do that we had control over went according to plan. We got to all of our shows early. Like I got to see a Broadway show. I got to go to the museum and do a tour and all sorts of stuff. But then we were on our way back and this is probably a normal airport story, but I've never had like this craziness happen to me. So we got on the plane and everything was good. It was set to go and everything. And then we could see the lights flickering in the cabin like a fucking horror movie.
Oh, no.
As you were still at the gate.
We were still at the gate. Yeah. We were still at the gate. We're sitting there at the gate and all the lights were flickering and it was and then they go off. And they come back on, and the plane was super hot, and it was just, like, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so they finally got over the thing, and they're like, hey, just so you know, we have a faulty, like, piece in the back of the plane that is the, like, power thing, and the cord apparently keeps getting undone by the 30-mile-an-hour wind outside. And so, but don't worry.
It's going to be faster in the sky.
Everything's fine. Well, they said it was connected to the airport to, like, give the plane power because the engines weren't on yet.
Mm.
It's like the battery in a car, I guess, right? Like the engines have to be running in order for it to like power the. Anyway, so it was plugged in, and they said the piece was faulty back there, but they're like, "Don't worry, everything's gonna be just fine." As we're like freaking out, and it keeps crashing, and they're like, "We can't start up the engines because every time it crashes, the power goes out, and the computers up front have to reboot, and they take like 5 or 10 minutes to like boot up and get everything ready."
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so every time the power would go out, the whole thing would go. And so we sat there for like an hour and a half.
I was like, that's not a good idea for a good system for a plane.
That is terrible. Not a good idea. And so, but I mean, the thing was faulty, apparently. Like the piece in the plane was faulty is what they're saying. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess that it's just from that. And so, so then they came on like an hour and a half later and they're like, so if any of you guys want to get off, we're offering a plane tomorrow. And we're like, does that mean we should get off?
Yeah.
Or does that mean we should stay here and like die with everyone? Like, right. What does that mean that you're offering us a plane, but not saying we have to get off?
Like, no, I'm good. I'm going to stay here on this plane.
And so we were like debating whether we should leave. And then they finally came back on like an hour and 45 minutes later and said, we have to get everybody off the plane because the pilot isn't comfortable flying this plane. And the pilot was like, I'm demanding us get a good plane that works. And we're like, thank God.
For the fucking pilot. That's a good pilot.
Who's like, no, I'm not flying this piece of trash.
What if
you
had some beef with the airlines? Like, this is the 10th time you've done this to me.
I feel like that might be what it is. And so then he got all of us off the plane. We were sitting
in
the...
That's ridiculous.
And this is, you know, our flight was supposed to leave late at night. And so we were supposed to get in, like, you know, at, like, 11 o'clock here this time, which is... would be like 2 a.m. in New York, and we are now accustomed to New York time, so we're like, fuck, we're gonna be so late and we're gonna be tired. And then they got over the intercom at the airport and they were like, about half an hour later, and we're like, so we just found out it was the, you know, the arm that reaches out that connects to the plane door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that you walk along.
Yeah.
So apparently the power thing in the door that was leading out there was the thing that was faulty, and the plane was fine. The plane was totally fine. It was just a thing. And I was like, I don't know if I believe you, but I want to get home. So we all got back in the plane and flew, and we got in at like 3 a.m. And it was like, but it was like, I was so afraid that the whole plane was just going to lose power mid-flight at any point. Because they were like, oh yeah, it was just the arm. But apparently it was
the arm. I'm pretty okay flying. Like, I always touch the plane as I walk onto it for some reason. Yeah.
You rub the plane.
I'm comforted if the pilot has like a good pilot voice.
Right,
know?
Yeah. Whenever he has a good pilot voice.
Oh, it's 33 degrees outside. Right. You know, that's great.
Wait, but Luis could probably do a really good pilot voice. Can you do a pilot voice?
I don't like being called on demand.
Okay. Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that's so good.
So good. It's so good.
It's the what is that? The grab the
he's thinking
vocal fry.
Yeah, he's vocal fry. Yeah. He's a big bulk vocal fry.
That's great. If that's happening, I love it.
Yeah, because he's comfortable.
Yeah.
I say come on planes by just looking at the flight attendants. If they're chill, then I'm chill.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah, see, the flight attendants were freaking out. And so I was freaking out.
Oh, see, then I would be freaking out. Yeah.
Because they know. They know.
I know. And you could see it in their eyes.
Because I've been on like smaller shaky planes.
Yeah.
And I'm losing my shit. And then there's this like, and it's like, put on your seatbelts, it's fine. And I'm just like hard staring at the flight attendant as she's sitting there playing Sudoku. And she's just like, whatever, it's fine. And I'm like, and I'm just, that's my focus. Just like, okay, she's fine. She's just solving some puzzles. Right. And she doesn't seem like she gives a shit. Like, this happens all the time. Yes. So, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
the plane
totally.
Is not going to fall apart.
How do you guys feel about funny flight attendants?
Ooh.
Are you into that?
I don't know if I like that.
You?
I don't know if I like funny flight attendants at all.
Okay.
Now that I think about it.
If it's a short flight, be funny as you want. But if it's a long flight, just let's calm down. This is a long trip.
Is it because it's annoying or is it because...
I mean, if they're
feels like
really,
they're...
I've had one flight attendant that was like doing the announcements that was great.
Was it Southwest?
It was Southwest.
They try to do a little comedy.
But
there
was a guy from L.A. to San Francisco that one time where it was just too much. It was like every time.
You were like, shut up!
Every time he'd make a joke, he'd finish it with, okay, and then he'd keep going. Next joke. It was driving me insane.
He was doing a stand-up routine on the plane.
Yeah, his punchline, instead of like, all right, all right, all right, was like, okay.
This is going to kill tomorrow in the airport.
He's practicing at home with note cards.
What if that was just a bet, Flight like how we make random noises here, and he's just like, you know what? This is the way I'm going to fuck with them today. This is going to make my coworkers laugh. Yeah. It's not going to make anybody else laugh, but especially if it's a short flight, it's probably just for the rest of the flight attendants to be like, I wonder if he could say this a lot.
Okay.
Well, I was talking to Spencer about this because we're also in I'm in a new office space. You guys are here. And like, I was thinking about like all the... Like, I'm getting more comfortable. It's like my third day. I kind of know people's names. I will never get to the point where I could do anything that we did at SourceFed in that office.
Oh,
like,
we've already started.
Like, there's no way. Like, I'm not going to walk through rooms and just like scream a random word.
it was hilarious. So Spencer got in today. He's back.
That's right.
And
I came in late because I got in at like 3 and was like, nope, I'm not coming in. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
So I showed up at like noon.
And I've been working on this sizzle, and it's like I had to pass it off to him because I had to work on something else. And I was like, all right, Spencer, baby boy, here's a new sizzle for you.
And he said, oh, thank you, baby boy.
And then he just immediately fell to the
floor.
No,
that wasn't it. No, that wasn't it. How'd it go? No, I had somebody jack my – you. That was fine. Yeah, I was excited that you had done that. But I walked in, and you're like, oh, that's your computer because somebody else had stolen my seat that's against the wall. And so nobody could see like what my screen is, which I like because then I can like do whatever I need to like be creative.
Watch
and
Netflix,
yeah, like whatever I need to do to like get inspired. And nobody can judge me. And somebody had moved that.
Yeah.
And she was like, sorry. And I was like, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die soap. And then I fell over.
Like a big like boom.
Yeah, just fell over really hard.
And then the saleswoman on the other side just jumped and leaped as if someone literally died. And she was terrified. And it was amazing. Yeah.
Other people would be concerned. Other people don't find this funny. Like,
no.
If Will Haynes was in this office and walking around and
we rag
like,
on
him.
We rag on
Will
every
Haynes
episode.
Be like the main,
we do.
I love the main section sleeping the whole time.
Yes.
Like,
but then he'd be walking up and down the aisle and be like, oh, help. Like everybody would be concerned.
But that's why I love Will.
I
love him.
Cause
I'll just never be that comfortable again.
Yeah, exactly. No, I never. Well, we try, but everybody stares at us so weird.
I know.
And
so it makes us want to go. Oh, a little fart.
Oh, so that's not
it
me.
It makes us want to go farther.
That's not me.
Is
I haven't
you?
Touched anything.
It's the ghost of
I think if I go this way.
Nope. Okay. but yeah, it was it's a little weird because we're so used to being weird and now we can't be as
well,
weird. But yeah.
I had a debate because we've been talking about this because we're in the new studio space, which is right next to our office.
But it's all soundproof.
It's all soundproof.
And it's very dark.
Very dark. And we were debating like about coming in here or staying in there because I like coming in here because we get to do whatever the fuck we want, make noises. But then we're going to, like, ostracize ourselves.
I know. We're
going
to isolate ourselves.
Yeah, and then we're really not going to know them, you know? So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're going to annoy the
we
shit
are really,
out of it. We already are. Like, you guys, after I fell, you guys piled chairs on top of me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I don't know. I want to desensitize them.
But the thing
like,
is,
listen,
they're
on
the phone.
They're
going
to learn
stuff.
To wear headphones, and they'll be fine. Because, honestly, everything you're talking about, I'm like, I missed all of this. Because I was listening to music, and it was in my corner. Yeah.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
okay,
I didn't
good.
Know. Well, I was like, you dropped down? The chairs were thrown around? I was like, this all makes sense. I believe you. I didn't hear or see any of it, because I was in my own zone.
Yeah, you're in the corner.
Yeah.
I love all of this. 6 months into working at SourceFed, though, I bought noise-canceling headphones.
Yeah.
Like, occasionally, I had to do something, and I was like, all right, I need to...
Yeah. No, that's a great choice.
So
I know. We kept our headphones.
They'll do the same thing. They'll get into noise-canceling headphones.
I just don't want them to be, like, end up calling HR, and then, like, listen, guys, you're going to have to not play the soundboard anymore.
You guys are going to have to stop
if they straight up call
yelling
us.
Obscenities
okay,
and
well,
stuff.
Okay, well, when that happens,
do.
Then we move into
we
the
move
studio.
In here. That makes sense.
And then we make them feel guilty for, like, making us move. It's the passive-aggressive thing to do.
Yeah, the passive-aggressive
thing. So we have a questions channel on our Slack, and it's full of questions.
What's
and
it
I
called?
Pull one. It's called Questions.
Hashtag Questions.
Hashtag Questions.
Trendy.
Yeah, it's trending.
Trending on our Slack.
Trending on our Slack. Spacey says, why am I awake? How is it almost 3 a.m.? Is time even real? Thank you for your input.
I have a video about it on LifeNoggin. Go check it out. Search it.
Oh, nice.
Wow,
there you go.
That.
That's your answer. Go to LifeNoggin.
Will you send us that and we'll drop it in the Slack?
Sure.
Okay.
Drop it.
Fuck yeah. That was
is
awesome.
So
the answer
next question.
No?
Boom.
The answer, is the answer no? Is time real?
I mean, watch the video. I'm not
ooh,
gonna spoil
I like
it.
That.
Oh, gosh,
yeah.
Damn it. I just wanted to know.
Okay, here's, you want the truth? The
yes.
truth is, I don't but if I say that, then they'll go. Like, I was talking to Vsauce once,
uh-huh.
and I was like trying to get him to like know what Life Noggin was. And I was like, yeah, we do like do big hypothetical questions, like, why do you get a headache? And he was like, oh, yeah, man, why do you get a headache? And I was like, shit. Like, go watch the video.
Go watch the video. Yeah, so go watch the video.
Go watch the video. The other question is, why am I awake and how is it almost 3 a.m.? I don't have a good answer for you, but that happens to me all the time. Where
oh, yeah.
You don't sleep.
I don't. I try to sleep. But I don't sleep as much as I should. No. But I find myself like realizing it's 3 a.m. and
no, me too.
Being awake. Yeah.
You're the friend that I know if it's like, oh man, it might be too late to text him. Not you.
Nope.
You're up.
Nope.
I was
I'm
up till 3 in the morning last night.
Were you really?
Yeah.
You were awake until I got in.
Oh yeah.
I was, yeah. I was awake until 2 a.m.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like bad. Creatively,
like, I see those videos about you need to sleep or you're going to have a heart attack. And I feel like I'm going to have a
brain.
There's
a video about it. I'll tell you. What would happen if you only got 2 hours of sleep? Life noggin a month ago. Check it out.
Really?
I'm scared. I feel like I'm going to get brain aneurysm.
You just eventually turn into mush. Like your brain is just like, no.
Oh, that explains why I feel like mush.
But I mean, you get shit done.
But Spencer, like, you're smart and you can get away with it. Like, I'm dumb, and so like, if I don't sleep for 2 hours, if I just sleep for 2 hours, then I'm like, ooh, we're not getting.
I have a crazy no sleep story. You guys want to hear it?
Oh, I love this story.
Yes,
please.
Ian, have you heard this? Has everybody heard the story?
I don't need
to tell it. If okay, all right. So it's I was amazing. In college and I was working on a project, and it was an animation. And I was doing some After Effects compositing with like all of the layers, and it was. A senior thesis. I was using all the layers. Basically, okay. Basically, to set the like kind of what I was doing, we had artists who were we had an artist who was drawing a bunch of like stills like storyboards from an animated movie, but they were all in different layers, and so then I would take those layers and I would animate them, and then they would do voiceover and play that underneath it. So it was like an animatic, but it was like full drawings, mm-hmm. right? There's like full animated stills. And so it was like not an animation, but it wasn't a storyboard either. And it was this guy's senior thesis, and he really needed it done. And I was kind of the only one who knew how to do that he knew. So I got brought on, and the guy, I loved working for him. He's super nice, but things happen, and we planned all of it out, and I was working 15 hours a day or 16 hours a day on this, and then going to school as well. Mm-hmm. And so like I planned this time, and so I would be working basically like, it was 12 hours. It was 12 hours a day on that, and then doing my school, and then sleeping the other like four. And it was really unhealthy, and I was basically up like all night working on stuff, but then I would go to sleep and like get some sleep. Anyway, we get to the last week. The screening is the next week. So we have 1 week before the screening, before everything needs to be done. And they come to me and they're like, so we're so sorry, but like we miscounted the number of shots, and actually this week we have to get double the shots done that we needed to
I'd
get.
I'd be like, oh, fuck you.
But he was my friend, and I really liked him, and he was like, he treated me really, I mean, everything was great. It just was that we had to get it done. And that's part of the reason why I still did it, was because like I liked him, and I liked the story. I liked everything. But I was like, okay, I'm normally working 12 hours a day. If I'm doing double the shots, then I'm working 24 hours a day.
Quick math.
That's all day. And so, So then I started working,
compromise in like, okay, well, you have to cut some of these shots.
We did cut some stuff, but it still was like they were essential. I mean, you're so limited on the shots anyways that like stuff got combined, but it still took a long time to do. So anyways, I was up from Monday morning until Friday when I finished the shot. I was up Friday, all night Friday. We finished on Saturday morning. I passed over to the sound designer. At that point, I don't remember anything. I don't remember anything after like Thursday because I blacked out. But then we finished it. Apparently, I went to the premiere of it.
Oh my God.
Don't remember it. Still never seen it. And then I went to sleep. And then I woke up on Saturday. I went to sleep on Saturday night. I woke up on Monday morning.
That's amazing.
Like, oh my God.
2 hours before my Spanish final. And you guys know how I am at Spanish. Yeah. We've had that discussion. And, I did better on that Spanish final than I've done in any other Spanish final ever. I was like, maybe the trick is don't sleep for a week and then sleep for like 2 days. And then I woke up, I went to the Spanish final, I dragged myself out of the Spanish final and to the hospital. And they were like, I was like, what do I have? I feel like I'm going to die. And they were like, you're just exhausted. They're like, just sleep. Just put fluids in you and sleep. And so, so I was up for like a week straight. And it was so, I do not ever do it. I highly recommend.
How much
recommend.
Caffeine did you drink?
I don't drink caffeine. That's so I didn't have
ridiculous.
Any caffeine.
I don't physically understand how you can stay up without anything supporting you, because my eyes would be like, we're going to sleep. We're going to sleep now.
Yeah. It was like that for the first like 2 days. And then after that, my brain was just like, oh,
that's
we're doing
the
trick.
This. That's it.
You break through that the hump. First 2 days, and then your brain just like realizes that it's not going to sleep.
We're not sleeping anymore.
And you go passive. Like your whole, everything stops. You just. I was feeding myself pepperoni pizza and just like pizza. Surviving.
I would love to
have
pepperoni
like
pizza.
This is why you said deadlines. All-nighter in college yeah. where I'm like working on like a 3D thing, which was uh-huh. dumb. And I don't like 3D because of this one night where I had to stay up because I'm waiting for it to render and it's on like old computers.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
this
I
was,
remember
this was 2004, 2005. Uh-huh. So imagine those laptops, computers. Like, and a Final Cut 7 and just chugging, trying to like render something in 3D. And it terrible. Was, it was awful and stayed up all night. And of course, same thing. I just slept the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I've been here. I've been on shoots where it's just like, why are we?
Yeah. The crack shoots. Still, and stuff.
Well, the crack shoots are supposed to wrap like around like 1 or 2 a.m., but lately they've been wrapping it like at 4 or 5 a.m. And then I'm still here the next day. That's why the first night we did the first podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had only like 3 hours of sleep that day because I was on a shoot before.
That's right.
And thank God I'm just like kind of just standing there. I'm not physically doing much on the set, but you're just
it's tiring.
I think
yeah.
once you decide that you're going to be awake, it's a little bit easier. Like when I was still working at SourceFed, there was an Adobe convention in San Diego, uh-huh. and I begged.
Oh, you brought back glasses.
I did. I brought back gifts for the people in my little
room. Oh, yeah, sunglasses.
I begged Jeremy to like, who was my boss at the time, to like let me go. And he's like, all right, you have to be back. You can go, but you have to be back Friday morning for the morning meeting. And so I drove down Wednesday after work, did the convention all day Thursday, and it's crazy. Like Adobe Max, it was insane. And so they had like a big like creative like party that night. And so like I ended up like hanging out at that, just talking to like really cool like photographers and stuff like that till like 2. And then I went to sleep, woke up at 5, drove from San Diego back to our office in Woodland Hills, did the entire day, then went to First Fridays, and then went home.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so
First Friday was it? Where were we?
I think we
Was it Suicide Squad?
We were at the
Was it the strip club?
Yes.
Oh man, I wish I would love to go to a strip club with all you dudes. This would be amazing.
No,
you guys
we got to take Suzanne and Jeffrey and Rose.
What? Oh my God, can we all go
all
to Jumbo?
The salespeople.
We need to all go to Jumbo's Clown Room. It's amazing. I know that sounds like a real weird place.
It's
a real weird place.
It's right down
place.
The street from me.
Remember when you guys were like, I hope they don't call HR on us for stacking chairs.
This particular place,
but Jumbos.
They don't go full nude because they serve alcohol. Like I think that's the same rule. Like,
unless
like
you're in
LA. In LA, if you serve alcohol, you can't be a full
I think that's
nude
really?
Bar.
Yeah. I didn't know that was that
I think that's
sense.
The States, except for Canada.
And Vegas. Vegas, you could be naked.
Which is why Jeffrey goes to Canada.
You and Jeffrey know each other.
Yeah, it's real crazy.
How do you know each other?
So back when I was a small child, I went to VidCon, which I went to the second one, which is actually... I don't know. Do people know where this office is? Should
yeah,
I ask that?
It's fine.
It doesn't matter. They can't get in. There's like two.
Yeah,
there's two security guards. And also
it's very difficult.
It's actually right next door, which is super weird. At the hotel, it's down the street.
Oh, wow.
But I was interviewing people for a live streaming site called Blog TV, which turned into You Now, if you guys know what that is. And Jeffrey used to be a YouTuber, and I interviewed him.
That's so weird.
We have a bunch of mutual friends, but I've never actually met him after that. So.
Oh, so you only saw him that one time, but
that
you have
time.
Footage of him.
Yep, and then Autumn's like, hey, this guy, Jeffrey, works. I'm like, is that Cool Jeffrey? Cool Jeffrey.
At Cool Jeffrey?
Yeah.
We love Jeffrey.
He's going to listen to this, and he's going to hate me.
Okay, so really quick, we were talking about college, and I wanted to get to this one because it's a good one. What are your? I don't have any, but what are your most wild college party stories? Because I didn't party in college.
Oh, I didn't really party either. I was a big old lame nerd.
Didn't go to college.
Luis, it's on you.
It's on me. Oh,
what's
man.
What's the craziest shit that happened?
I don't know, actually, to be honest, because I don't remember. Because I was I was part of a party house, so I had like about 4 people in it. You know,
people, including you,
including me.
Oh, okay.
And so we would like house all the theater parties would go over there. You know what I mean? And
is that for someone who doesn't know? Is that like a fraternity, or is it more of like
no,
a,
it's just
ven-
a, house
a venue?
With a lot of people who
yeah,
like,
it's
have
just,
parties okay. all the time.
It's just like a venue. So like typically after an event or something or whenever, there'd be like 3 or 2 party houses. You know, like we're going to the Clay House, we're going to the McDermott House, or we're going to the Sophomore
House. Luis's
you know?
House.
Yeah, but we're all named by the streets, and so whatever the street name was, like we're gonna go there. So we had this awesome backyard. You know, I mean, I don't
so
remember.
Amazing.
It was pretty awesome. And I mean, I can't
See,
remember.
See, I want I mean, that now. Like, I feel like I have more.
I want that now.
I have more party stories from my 30s than I think.
Wait,
like
tell
that.
Us one of your party stories.
Yeah.
Oh, when I first moved to LA, I started working for this band called Lights Over Paris, and it was run by this dude who what's the best way to describe it? He got a lot of money.
That's never good.
And he decided that he wanted to start a band, and the way he ran it was that pretend you're already like a big league successful person. So that's how he spent the money as well. So he'd rent out these like Hollywood Hill mansion houses, and his Halloween parties were the best. He'd like change every room into like a different like theme. Mm-hmm. So like he'd have like people running around as Chucky. He had like the women who were like all painted and they were like holding food trays.
I went to a party like I'll tell that after.
He had like fire breathers and dancers that because they made the pool that was there. They made it a stage that you could still see underneath with the pool, but like you could like so they're like doing this. At I'm swirling my hands like they're throwing fire and. And it was, and he still had a VIP section in his house. So like, there was still a part where you're like, even I worked for him, and I was like, can I come in here? Like, he's just like, I guess that's fine. But like, even then, I had to like wait in a mini line to go like hang out. Where it was so cool to the point where like helicopters eventually showed up and kicked us all out because it was, and that's how he. Every time he threw a house party like that, that's how he marked success. If the helicopter showed up and kicked everybody out, and like. And
insane.
It was a super fun party. I think I dressed up as Ramona Flowers from Scott Pilgrim.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh,
cool. I was very that's comfortable. Awesome. Like yeah. I wasn't like all like and it was just it was super cool. I don't know how those many people showed up, how he knew that many people, but it was a dope party.
That's cool.
I think someone pooped on a roof of a car.
Wow. That sounds about right.
I had that. We were staying up like late 3 or 4 in the morning, and one of my roommates walks out. Drunk, doesn't remember what's going on. He unzips his pants and starts pissing in the living room. And then I was like, oh, okay. And he leaves. And then we like just throw paper towels on there or whatever. He wakes up the next morning. He's like, what? Who the fuck put paper towels on here? I'm like, dude, you pissed in the living room last night.
You peed over in the living room.
Oh, good times.
I was at like a brand party, essentially. Like it was this company that was throwing this party. And it was essentially if you took like every cliche or every weird thing you've ever heard of someone having at a really cool party, put it all into a hat, then picked it out and hired those things. So there was like people that were dressed up as Oompa Loompas. There was mermaids. There was a woman who was paid to stand like a tree and not wear much clothing. There was like VR. There was like free like vapes. Like it was the weirdest
thing. That sounds amazing. It was a
smorgasbord.
It was great. Yeah. I saw an Oompa Loompa hit on a mermaid, and it was just like
that sounds awesome.
I didn't know what was happening.
One of my dumb Hollywood like bucket list things, which is and I've heard it's lame now, but I still want to do it just to like mark it up the list, is to go to the Playboy Mansion for a party. I've heard it's gross. I've heard like the mansion's kind of run down because it's like super old.
It's all articles
and
now.
The grotto is just like this dingy little thing now, but I still want to go. Well, I want to go and just be like, no, I was here. This was a fun party and cool.
I went to college with Cooper, who now runs Playboy.
Right. He runs the hop events now.
Yeah, he does events too. But I went to college with him, and we are friends, and you know, he's amazing. He's so smart. He used your photo as the hop.
He did.
As the hop events thing.
Hop events got bought by Playboy.
Yeah, well, because he started hop because he wasn't going to do Playboy, and I don't know how it all went down, and I don't know what exactly happened, but I know he got brought back to Playboy, and then they acquired hop. I don't know exactly what the logistics of that were, but
used to do these events. It's essentially like roller skating, but get very drunk. It was open bar roller skating.
Seems safe.
And surprisingly, I don't think I saw people get hurt like out like on the rink. Like it was just like your average like bar obnoxiousness, but nothing like on the rink. I think people were smart enough to go, oh, I can't stand in these, and they would just
they wouldn't do it. Yeah.
Super great, cool. You got to dress up in 70s clothes. It was always themed. And then, like, after they got bought by, and like, they'd always have photographers, you know? So, it's like, if you're there, they take your picture. It's just part of the thing. Then, once they got bought, they re-brought back those events, and then they used me and my friend Erica's picture as, like, the promotion. And then, of course, it says, like, Playboy on there and all this stuff. And, like, I thought it was funny,
yeah.
but I definitely got a message from my mom, like, all concerned and worried.
Like, you're doing Playboy, yeah.
And I was just like, no, no, Mom, it's, like, roller skating. It's just the picture. It's not, anything.
Did but they give you a free ticket, at least?
They did, but I actually a different event to go to that night, so I did not go. But I would still want to go back to it.
You know,
it was
people would have been like,
fun time.
You're the girl from the poster.
Well, I would have dressed up in a different. I would have worn my leopard thing and a different wig. I like that was the thing. It's like, oh, when I go to those events, I get to wear a wig. I get to put on skates.
You do crazy
super,
stuff.
Super
How many wigs do you own?
Six.
Wait, do you own a lot?
Cool.
Wait, why do you have that many wigs,
Louise?
Because it's fun.
Oh, okay, just for fun.
Just the one.
Just the one?
Just the one pink
Just
one.
The one he's wearing.
Yeah.
Just the pink
like
one
little,
he's wearing right now.
Yeah. I have a little afro wig that's really cute that people think is real when I wear it because it's the same hair.
Yeah,
texture.
Yeah.
And then I have like funky weird hair colors that I just went through a phase where I'm like, that's a $12 wig. I'll just buy that. So I just have them waiting for events where it's appropriate for me to wear them because it would be cool. So I want to go to more parties. So yes, a Playboy Mansion party, I will wear a blue wig and go and have a great time.
I'll keep my eyes out for you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we should wrap up.
How many wigs do you own, Spencer?
How many do I have?
Probably a lot.
I probably have like, well, I think I threw the ones that I had out for like from like college when we were doing shows and stuff. So I probably don't have any anymore. Like six.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
But Ian, where can people find you online?
Oh, really? Like Instagram or Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is my name Ian Doki.
I-A-N-D-O-K-I-E. Yeah.
No, okay. spell it together.
Ready, 1, 2, 3.
No,
I-A-N-D-O-K-I-E.
No, that got zero followers.
You lost some, actually.
Yeah. Honestly, just go to Autumn's Instagram, and then I'm the photo credit.
It's bad.
And then
are you still upset that she has more followers than you
talk
now?
About it.
Wait, is that true?
No. Okay,
guys, get Ian up.
No, we're not starting this.
Starting this war. But then where can I find your movie and your show?
Oh yeah, if you're into YouTube or VidCon or any of this crazy community. I made a documentary called Internet Kids.
Internet Kids, awesome. I saw it. It's really great.
Please check it out.
Internet Kids.
The film.com. Yeah.
Cool.
And then Life Noggin.
And Life Noggin is just search Life Noggin on YouTube or Google.
And you guys just hit a million just recently.
Yelp. We did, which is insane. You can Yelp it. We got one Yelp review. He's
really?
Real
okay. Everybody go leave a 5-star review on Yelp.
Oh, also, how do I get a Wikipedia page? Well, I'll ask you that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you just get one like that. Like, you just said it, so someone's going to make one.
Please.
Yeah, somebody was, hey, guys, can you make a Wikipedia page for Life Noggin?
I'll pay you.
No, you actually can't do that. You can't.
Just kidding.
I'll pay you under the table.
Yeah.
It's just you can't
Luis make
it.
Luis and I are between a table, so yeah. It's better.
For all the listeners there, I just gave money. Okay, let's move on.
I ruined it at the end.
That's okay. Star, where can people find you?
You could find me on Twitter at StarlineX and on Instagram as Starline. Even though it's pronounced Starlene, but I'm just, for spelling. I have to say this every time.
Yeah.
Because it's a thing.
And then you can find me at Spencer Stark. That's an S where the C normally goes, and an E after the K. It's spelled real weird, but go find it.
Find it. And I'm going to actually plug or ask a request from anybody who lives in LA. As we were talking about house parties, I actually have been wanting to work on this beer pong documentary because everyone plays beer pong very differently. And I think that interests me, and I like that community, I guess. So if anyone lives in L.A. and has a house, and you guys play beer pong all the time, hit me up. I'm going to film it. You know?
Especially if you're one of those people who do, like, play the beer. Not the beer one. Of course you play the beer one. The pool one. Like, in the swimming pool. Because there's
Let's do it.
Beer pong swimming pool situation.
Yeah.
Because this is me also trying to get into that party.
Yeah, you're going to get Star into the party.
If you have a pool.
You know? If you have a pool,
let me.
If you have an extra room, I can live there. I have 3 cats. You know, we could be friends. No, but you could find me on LUWI12. That's Instagrams or Twitter.
Yeah. Instagrams? The plural?
Instagrams, yeah. The multiples.
The multiple Instagrams. Yeah. Well, cool. All right. Well, Ian, we loved having you here.
Thanks so much for having me.
We miss you so much.
I feel like this is a weird episode for me to come in on, but
I know.
It's fine.
It's okay. It's a little more calm.
Yeah.
I feel like
it is a little
more
calm.
I don't think we've had a not weird episode.
Yeah, that's true. They've all been weird. So
I've been listening. I really enjoy it.
You guys
have done a great job.
That's so nice.
Oh, thanks, man. That's cool.
But yeah, you guys, go ahead and tweet at us at We Stayed Late with any questions you have. Also, you can join the Slack if you want. We're always
join
talking
on
there.
Join the goddamn Slack, will you? Okay, I made it and I pour my life into it. We're all having fun.
It's costing Luis $500 a month.
We'll chat you up.
He will, yeah.
I'll
chat you up. All
right, guys. He'll message you when you don't want him to.
Yeah. I'm gonna click on you. We got Caesar, we got Seth Thelms, we got A-Bit Olive, we got Praise Logic, we got Slam James, we got Daisy Rundown. Oh, and we got Batmime, who put a really badass video up that I love.
Oh, yeah. Those were awesome. So come join our Slack, and you can see the cool videos that are being posted
Anna
there by
Acapella.
Us and other people. Anna
Thanks.
Acapella. Dakota Bennis. Spazy. Ravioli.
Last one was just a food.
That was just a food. But yeah, join us there, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yee. I wanna